Hello, loves. Welcome back to A School Audio Sessions. This is actually the first one we've done for 2024. It's a special episode because it doesn't seem like the majority of you enjoy this audio, this weekly audio A School podcast. However, for this particular topic, I just felt like an audio was the best way to talk about this subject, and also, you know, context, and sometimes just writing it out, sometimes just things get missed, and it's an important topic. Anyways, let's get into it. So a few weeks ago in our Friday night check-in, one of our A School members shared a struggle. And this is not an uncommon struggle, which again is why I wanted to talk about it on in audio sessions, because it is super relevant to any of you who are employment-based salons, and also great context for those of you that are independent or even lease-based salons. We have an entire document called Salon Business Models, which I made a few years ago for you all. And I'm going to attach that to this episode, because it's a great reminder about why people choose employment-based versus lease-based versus suite. And of course, everything always comes back to brand. And of course, that's a big part of the Creating Your Awesome Brand course. So The struggle here is navigating a stylist's point of view about commission percentages versus total compensation. Instead of offering a higher percentage, I had built additional pay offerings. It comes out to the same amount, but they are so attached to the percentage. This is not a new problem. This is why I recommend always using the language compensation program versus leading with a commission percentage, because it's confusing and it just doesn't make sense, because a percentage is subjective, right? 50% of 10 is different than 45% of 500, right? And so we don't deposit commissions in the bank. We deposit money in the bank. And so there's that part of it. So from the jump, talking about compensation versus talking about commission. That's why I don't recommend calling employment-based salons commission-based salons. It's literally in the name and it's confusing. Employment-based is literally what it is. You're an employee versus lease-based, you're leasing. So there's that part of it. Then the economics of an employment-based salon, again, this is not new. The economics are fairly simple, and typically employment-based salons do not have high net profit. And many, over the decades that I've been in this industry, many of the salons that have gone out of employment-based salons that have gone out of business have done so because they couldn't make a profit, because they got into that, they got stuck in that commission percentage merry-go-round, which is a no-win journey. And when we look at the average employment-based salon, and again, this is over decades, when you look at the average employment-based salon, you really cannot go much further than about 45% commission as part of an overall compensation program without actually losing money, right? Now, of course, there are variables and there are unique circumstances and different financial outlooks, right? Let's say that someone has a percentage of rent at 25% versus someone that has percentage of rent at 5% or owns a building and has no mortgage. I mean, of course, there's variables. However, the average is 45 would be the max. So here's where this situation gets interesting. So, of course, I always ask questions because that's how we gain more context and insight. So basically, in this particular scenario, this stylist wants to earn $1,800 more a year. That's the that's kind of the number. And they believe, this stylist believes, that if they could just make higher commission, they could get that $1,800. So what she, here's the more context. She doesn't double book, and this particular salon is not a recommend, does not recommend, you know, double booking. She doesn't want to increase her pricing. Now, here's where I have an issue, and also, again, some insight. If you're an employment-based salon, or any employment-based anything, your prices are set based on your brand, of course, because brand and marketing drive pricing, brand marketing business model, and also your costs, right? And your desired net profit. So you're setting your prices with all those things in mind. So an individual should not be able to dictate to you, the owner, what they want their price to be, because it doesn't make sense, because they don't know all the things that go into setting a particular price. So employees of any business don't set prices. Prices are set based on brand, marketing, market position, business model, overhead, and desired profit. That's literally the way it works. So that is kind of that's one thing to look at. Like, that, it just doesn't work. So if this person is not comfortable raising their prices, then the next step is why, right? And then working with them on how to feel more confident and comfortable and grounded in ensuring that they are aligned with the salon, aligned with the brand, aligned with the promises, aligned with the experience. They don't get to not raise prices and then ask for more money. That's not the way it works. It's not a sustainable business. It has nothing against the team member. The team member could be the most awesome person in the world, right? That has nothing to do with them as an individual. It has everything to do with, wow, this is a problem, and let's take a look at it. So they don't want to change their availability. They don't want to follow the salon prices and increase their prices. They don't want to add on higher revenue services. They do, however, want to possibly be a mentor in the salon. They also don't want to go independent inside this business. So you're already, I know most of you listening right now are like, oh shit. Like, this is red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. So what's going on? I mean, I don't know, but I have some thoughts. It is possible that this person has outgrown the business. It is possible that this person is stuck and may not be able to get unstuck in this business. That is not a failure. That is just the way humans are, right? We outgrow things. We get stuck. And again, not necessarily having anything bad about it. It just happens. This person is kind of has dug their heels in. Again, they believe if they could just have 50% commission instead of 45, all their problems would be solved. I think we all know that's not true, right? And the fact that they have dug their heels in tells me they are not open to learning. Again, kind of a block, right? Kind of a red flag. Not bad, just the reality of human beings. There comes a time that sometimes we just stop listening. Not because we're assholes. We just can't hear anymore. We just don't hear you anymore, right? But then the next person comes along and they're like, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden we can hear again. That's just part of humanity. That's just part of leadership. That's just part of everyone's own development and growth. So the question becomes, how much value does this person add to the business? And if the outcome you're seeking is to retain the team member, then are you open to increasing their commission percentage, creating a special deal for them, and possibly losing trust of the other team members because you can't offer a special deal for everybody because it's not sustainable from a profitability perspective? Yes, of course, there are salons that have tiered commission structures, and we have A school members that have certain situations where they reward people with higher percentages, but their overall net is still healthy and profitable, and it seems to have worked fine for them. That doesn't mean it works fine for everybody. It doesn't mean you should do that. It doesn't mean you should not do that. This is why I always, always remind you to not get into comparison, because there's so many variables and nuances that go into every single brand and every single business. So the solution is taking all those things into consideration, what's the best decision? Is it time to let this person move on? Is it time to try to break through their blockedness and help them see the value in their services they deliver at the price you set as the owner? Is it time to create a special compensation program for them, knowing that could or could not turn out well? These are all questions that we want to ask as we're going through these more difficult situations in the business. We're not doing absolute thinking. We're not doing extreme thinking. We're not doing black and white thinking. It's not this or that. It's here are the scenarios. Here are the options. And with everything I know, what do I believe is best for the business long term? That's how we go through these decisions. What happens if we don't make a decision? And we have a decision-making worksheet that kind of goes through these steps. What happens if we don't make a decision? Well, if we don't make a decision, we are creating energy we don't want in the business. And you all know that. Avoidance is not the answer. And, you know, the reality is you may get it wrong. However, you can only do the best with the information that you have in the moment, the context you have in the moment, the experience you have in the moment, the clarity of your brand promise in the moment. Sometimes it's time to let people move on. Not with drama, not with resentment, not with anger, with acceptance, with grace and gratitude. What we can't do in any employment-based business is continue to bend and contort ourselves, our brand, our agreements, because somebody is feeling some type of way. We want to try to help them find clarity. We want to lead and advise and coach as best we can. We want to provide them with the best environment to grow, to flourish in alignment with what success and growth looks like to them. But sometimes, you know, it's just time. And that's okay. So we're talking about clarity of brand. We're talking about healthy boundaries. We're talking about clear communication. And the acceptance that sometimes relationships have run their course. I was taught very, very early in my career, which was difficult for me when I first heard it, but as time went on, it made so much sense. It's a disservice to keep people in a job or a position that they cannot fully grow authentically in their strength and power. And sometimes one of the most awesome and powerful things we can do is let them go. Let them go find that, because it's there. It's out there somewhere for them. I don't have the answer, right? I don't know because it's not my situation to answer, right? My job here is to give you context and to give you frameworks and to support you through you making the decision that fits best for the business and the brand. This is a really important conversation because it happens all day, every day, right? It's just part of business. And I know it's a part of business that not everybody enjoys because it's hard. We value our people, right? We value our team. We want to do everything we can possibly do to help them grow and find their light, right? And that's great. And we'll keep doing that. But not in exchange for literally like abandoning everything we know about our brand and our business and our needs long term. Great discussion. I would love to hear your feedback. We actually talked about this. This was last week's solution session. So I'm going to link that also into this post. So you'll see the original conversation from the Friday night check-in, and then you'll see the solution session around this. Really important discussion. And then as promised, I will also add the Salon Business Models document. Thank you so much for listening. I am so incredibly grateful for you. I hope you have a peaceful day. Bye.